Hanson Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. You know, you never really appreciate something until it's taken away from you. And Steve Klocke's been calling Bees games for so many years. Steve, how many seasons is this for you?
This will be the 27th season after being put on hold last year. So 27 down.
So, I mean, like, I my wife gets upset at me all the time when I complain. I'm like, I got to go to a Jazz game tonight. So she's like, what's wrong with you? You're going to a Jazz game. It's your job. Like, that's a pretty good gig. But, you know, look, for when you do it day in and day out, it still becomes a job. Do you have a little bit more appreciation for what you have? I mean, after that miserable last year?
I think I do. I mean, from the standpoint that, you know, something taken away from me like this, it was just it was hard. I mean, you guys both know that yard work can't cover everything, although my yard does look as good as it's ever looked before because of all the time I spent at home. But, no, it's great to be back. I definitely missed it, and it's just you can't ask for a better day to come back to with the sun shining, temperatures going to be in the mid-80s, and not a cloud in the sky.
So have you been practicing? Like, how do you get back into game shape, Steve, with the calls and the names and just practicing and researching?
I've been doing a lot of researching, Hans. For those who don't know, I think a lot of people do, that I keep a 4x6 index card on every player in the league. So the last few days, I've been once we've got the rosters, I have been doing all my cards for the first two homestands with the Reno and Tacoma coming in, plus our own ball club, which seems to be changing every minute because of injuries at the big league level with the Angels. But no, it's you know, and that's part of it. I mentioned on Channel 2 last night that you know, one of the things I missed, they asked me what are the little things I missed. Well, one of it was the game prep. That's one of my favorite parts, because there's nothing better than finding a nugget about somebody that, oh wait, I can't wait to use this you know, the first time he comes to bat or something like that.
I've seen the stack of cards, by the way, and it's real and it's impressive, and there's no doubt about it. All right, so we talked to the manager yesterday, and by the way, you know, 34 years old, but really fun conversation. He's got some great history and really fired up. But he mentioned what you said. This roster is certainly in flux, and it could be an interesting start to the season for sure. It
very well could be. The only thing I know for sure is Jaime Barría is going to be the starting pitcher. Other than that, you know, we've been a constant loss of play. I think we've lost four or five players this week alone because of problems with the Angels. But Lou Marcin, you know, he'll have to play circus juggler in getting that lineup put together on a day-in and day-out basis until the Angels get healthy. Did he admit, by the way, to being in one of the most famous plays in recent history in Major League Baseball?
He did not.
No.
I'm sure you've all seen the highlight when the Cleveland Indians were playing the White Sox, and Mark Burley was the pitcher for Chicago, and he went after a ball that he knocked down. It went into foul territory, and he flipped it with his back to first base with his glove to get the batter out.
I remember that.
Yeah, Lou Marcin was the batter who was thrown out.
No kidding.
See, I think that's where the phrase "runs like a catcher" comes from.
Wow, I had no idea.
Yeah, no, there was no mention of that at all.
Surprising.
But man, we had such a blast, such a fun conversation. And Steve, I love learning about the game of baseball, and we were throwing so many different questions at him. I'm going to throw a question at you that I had saved it that I wanted to ask him and didn't get a chance to ask him. What would you rather watch as an announcer sitting in the booth? Would you rather watch a pretty high scoring game that ended in a walk off grand slam, or a low scoring? We'll just go no hitter. We won't say perfect, but a no hitter.
I would go with the no-hitter, Hans, from the standpoint that they're so rare, particularly in the what is now known as AAA West and not the Pacific Coast League, because of the, you know, hitter-friendly ballparks all around the league. I think in our first 26 years, I've only seen two 9-inning no-hitters, one for and one against, and neither one was in this ballpark. You know, the other thing, the high-scoring game, we see a lot of that with the walk-off. I distinctly remember in 1998, New Orleans scored 9 runs in the top of the first. Salt Lake scored 8 runs in the bottom of the first. It took 51 minutes to play that inning. And Joe Garagiola was here with his anti-spit tobacco campaign, and he popped his head in after the bottom of the first and goes, "God, that was the strangest inning I've ever seen." And I said, you know, stealing the line from his book, I go, "Joe, baseball's a funny game." And the game ended on Scott Stachowiak, who was with the Buzz at the time, hitting a 3-run homer just to the left of the batter's eye in center field that not only won the game but gave him the cycle.
You throw the saying back at him. What did he say when you threw his saying back at him?
He laughed. He laughed. It was funny. It was funny. Yeah.
Give me 2 or 3 people we need to be looking out for as guys that, and who knows, they may already be with the Angels considering what they're dealing with right now, but who are 2 or 3 guys we need to be keeping an eye on?
Well, first and foremost has got to be Joe Adele, who's the number one prospect in the Angels organization by every publication imaginable. He's a guy that spent a little bit of time with us in 2019, spent all of the shortened season last year with the Angels, but struggled at the plate, hit just 161, struggled a little bit defensively. And Joe Maddon, if I recall correctly, made him an early cut back to the minor league camp from spring training this year because he felt that he needed to be here to fine-tune his game both offensively and defensively. So he's one to kind of watch out for. I can't wait for him to finally hit his first Triple-A home run because he's got 3 big league homers and none at Triple-A because he didn't hit any when he was with Salt Lake back in 2019. Well, actually, he hit 2 in Tacoma, but rain came and canceled the game before it got to the minimum 5 innings, and so those don't count. So a couple of other guys that come to mind. You've got the local kid from Bingham High School, Brandon Lund, who was on Bingham's championship teams in 2011 and 2013. He's a guy that I think opened some eyes the second half of the season in 2019 within the Angels organization, a guy that could wind up at some point in time being in the big leagues. And you've also got Luis Rengifo, who also has spent some time in Salt Lake in 2018 and 2019, but again, he had only 156 in 33 games last year for the Angels, so he needs to work on a few things as well. But those are names, if all familiar names, and all guys that have some things to work on. That's why they're here, and I wouldn't be surprised if all 3 of them do wind up in the big leagues at some point this year. Mm.
Steve, I'm curious, from your point of view, what is the most difficult position to play in baseball?
I would have to say catcher. I mean, you're locked into every pitch. For example, you and the pitcher are the only 2 people that handle the ball on a regular basis. Not obviously, it's only the pitcher who has it every play, but I think it's the catcher. He's got to be cerebral. He calls the game back there. You might see a catcher look to the dugout. He's not looking to find out what pitch they want that pitcher to throw. He's looking to see if there's a runner on base, if they want to pitch out in a certain situation, or if they want a pickoff move in a certain situation. So he's got to know the strengths and weaknesses of the hitters, as well as the strength and the weakness of the pitcher who's out there, so that he can work in concert with him to try to get those batters out.
What position in baseball is universally known, defensive position in baseball is universally known as the best hitters?
Usually the power positions are first and third, and generally center field is your on-base guy, your leadoff guy, unless you're a Mike Trout who can do it all. he obviously has been amazing. I give the front office credit. He only played 3 weeks for the Bees in 2012, but we market it like it was 3 years.
Yeah, no doubt.
Wow.
I remember Mark Amicone saying, "You need to get here early because he's not going to be here very long."
Mm-hmm.
And that certainly was the case. And but boy, he certainly was fun to watch for sure. Hey, so I'm curious. I have no idea where you're going to go on this. I don't know if you've tweeted out anything. I've not seen it. So I know that you're a baseball historian. You're an appreciator of baseball and its rules. With that said, did John Means throw a perfect game, or should that be a non-perfect game because of the wild pitch?
It was just a no-hitter. It was not a perfect game, and actually the scorer was wrong. I thought it should have been a pass ball on the catcher, but neither here nor there. It's not a perfect game because a batter did reach base. I mean, it's in the rules. There's, you know, a lot of questions as to whether or not it's a good rule on the drop third strike. It was developed back in the teens, I guess, because catchers were dropping third strikes on purpose to try to draw the runner off of first base and pick him off and make it a double play. So, no, it's not a perfect game. It was a well-pitched game. I watched it. There weren't any hard-hit balls. I think I'm not a big exit velocity guy, but I think the hardest hit ball that Seattle had the entire game was only 95 miles per hour, which is, great for you and I, but not for a major league game. You usually have a number of contact plays where it's over 100 miles per hour, but it was a masterful job by means, but not a perfect game.
Steve, how often when we watch a batter get plunked, when we watch a batter get hit by a pitch, mm-hmm. How often is that on purpose?
I think maybe 5% at most. Most, I think most of the time it's just a situation where the pitch might get away, or in some cases the hitter's leaning in, they want to back him up, and the pitch comes a little bit too far inside. Or the Michael Conforto situation with the Mets where he reached his elbow out and purposely got hit with the bases loaded to bring in the winning run in the bottom of the ninth.
I asked that because I was watching some highlights maybe last week or 2 weeks ago when Trout took the fastball to the nose, and then the following pitch hit another guy right in the back. And I just wondered, is that just a ball getting away from a pitcher? Because if he was aiming at Trout's face and then decided he's going to hit the next batter, that'd be crazy. But you feel like those are both wild pitches.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, there was I believe the pitcher who did that, this was his major league debut, and I think the nerves took over there. And I think at one point after the second guy got hit, some of the Angels players were getting on his case and saying, or on the opposing bench's case, saying, hey, the guy can't throw a strike. He's too nervous. Get him out of there. We want to stay in one piece.
So I apologize. You texted me this, and I didn't get a chance to respond. But Tandoori Oven, were you a fan?
Yes. Yeah, I had never eaten Indian food before other than curry pizza in West Valley. So I was really curious and wanted to try it. And, you know, wanted something special for my 200th Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives visit. And
Number 200.
I thought it was excellent.
That's in Logan?
That's in Logan, yeah.
At the gas station?
Yes, yep, on the way up to the stadium. Yeah, there was there's five restaurants in Logan that have been on the show, and I've been to three of them.
By the way, that there's an apartment complex directly east of that gas station that has that Tandoori Oven.
Yeah, the big sign saying don't park there, you'll get towed.
And you will. and I lived in that apartment complex, and that restaurant used to be a laundromat, and that's where I do my laundry.
That's nice.
Yeah,
but that's in fact, I'll tell you some stories. That restaurant's getting some national notoriety.
Yeah, it's really, really good. I had the chicken tikka masala. My wife had the chicken curry. We had the keema samosa that was stuffed with the ground lamb and peas. It was excellent.
Yeah, good stuff.
Ooh,
I love
that type of food.
I just wanted you to be able to celebrate number 200 on the Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Well, that's, you know, I've always said when I travel, I like to eat local rather than chain, but local can be iffy. So if it's been on the show, I'm pretty sure the food was going to be good.
That's a good point. Steve Klauke right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. The Bees get underway coming up today. I tell you what, this is an opportunity. I know, what is it, 3,200?
3,200, and it is a sellout tonight.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And I got to imagine that number is going to increase here pretty quickly as we continue on throughout the summer.
I have to think so with, you know, the Jazz at, 6,700? And I thought – I was at the game last night, and I thought it was well-spaced.
Really quick before I let you go, Steve, greatest first baseman in the history of baseball.
Boy, greatest first baseman in the history of baseball. There's so many choices. I am going to go old school and go Lou Gehrig.
Oh, can't go wrong with that.
You have somebody in mind, don't you?
No, I don't. No,
no, I don't. I just I sit back here. Your knowledge in baseball is just fascinating to me, Steve. I could sit there and pick your brain on these things all day long, because I don't have a good baseball background. But I do love learning about certain aspects of sports. That's why I kind of go into some different angles with you. But Lou Gehrig, huh? He was as good a hitter as he was a baseman?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And the other thing, too, Hans, is that I guess if I ever put my mind to good use besides baseball and puns, that who knows what I could have done in my life. But actually, one of the other reasons I'm looking forward to the game tonight, maybe this will finally erase the memory of that terrible first-round loss to Southern Illinois for Weber State in football, especially with Southern Illinois scoring a big touchdown on an illegal fake field goal. It's been proven that it was illegal because the receiver just kind of snuck out onto the field from the sideline without reporting inside the numbers. That should have been an automatic 15-yard unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. Whistle flag should have been thrown as he lined up for the line of scrimmage.
And then forced to kick a field goal 15 yards out, and who knows what's going to happen at that point.
Exactly. Obviously, yeah. The Wildcats made some mistakes along the way that they shot themselves in the foot, but that play will forever gnaw at me.
Time to get rid of it, Steve. Get back out there.
I know. I still remember a goal that I gave up in indoor gym hockey in high school that still haunts me. I can picture it in my mind every day.
All right, so let's test that memory.
Okay.
First game you called in Salt Lake for the Bees or whatever the name was
at the
time. The Buzz. And the opponent and the score. Do you remember?
The score, I believe, was 8-2, and it was in Vancouver after we had back-to-back rainouts the first 2 days. And so we actually had the free rein of the BC Place Dome Stadium there in Vancouver because it was in a baseball configuration. And so because of that, we had to play back-to-back doubleheaders in Vancouver on that Saturday and Sunday. And I'm thinking, well, welcome to the PCL. And by the way, I was completely off. I just pulled out my scorebook. It was 2-1 Vancouver in that very first game with the Salt Lake winning the second game 10-3.
But you have the scorecard, though, still.
I have all of my scorebooks going back to that first year in 1994, and they're all here at my fingertips so I can look through all 3,758 games that I've done. Give or take a few.
So you're a couple years away from four.
Yeah, I don't count the – some people say I should. I don't count the two exhibition games between the Buzz and the Minnesota Twins that we played.
Oh, I think you should.
All right, then it's 3,760.
Bam. Let's go. Steve, you're the best, man. Always fun catching up to you. Enjoy the season. It's great to have Bees baseball back, and great to have you back on the air.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you very much.
Steve Klauke right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hell of a broadcaster, better human being.